All right, talking today with Michael Kelsey, Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. Michael, we're now about a month, I guess, into the legislative session. Tell us what's going on up there.
Yeah, we've passed the first deadline, which is a big one for us, and that, well, for everyone, and that is that all bills must have come out of the committee in their chamber of origin. So to put that into perspective, Carson, what that means is we started the session with about 2,850, give or take, bills. We're now down to 1,020 bills that are alive and active. So that's very important because we're starting now to kind of hone in to what the legislative priority is going to be. We're getting closer to the budget time. We're starting to see some budget bills that are and initiatives that are being thrown out and so forth. So again, all that is for the onlooker, if you will, is we're just kind of starting to hone in where the legislature is going. So specifically for us, private property rights continues to be the big issue for us, whether it be protecting groundwater rights from eminent domain. We're tickled that that bill's come off the House and we're moving it over to the Senate. We're watching closely a drone bill that would prohibit the flying of drones over agriculture land, private property land, and we're also working to protect the integrity of our name, beef, from some of the lab-based or cell-cultured products and so forth. So that's some big initiatives for us, but we continue to work very. We're probably, honestly, Carson, we're playing more offense this year than we ever have in sessions that I can remember. Most of the time, it's been defense, you know, pushing back against bad things. This year, we're having an opportunity to play some offense. I think that's reflective of some of the fresh new ideas on both the House and the Senate, and then, quite frankly, an administration that is very friendly to our business. Governor Stitt and his team of cabinet members, super friendly to agriculture, and that is showing through. So we're having a good session at this point in time.
Absolutely. So I believe coming up next week, there's like another deadline, correct? So by that time, we'll hopefully have a little bit of a better idea, like you said, of where some of these bills that you've been watching are coming out of.
That's absolutely correct. So March 14th is the next deadline, and all bills must come out of their chamber of origin and go to the opposite chamber. So all House bills must pass off the House floor, all Senate bills must have gotten off the Senate floor, and then obviously flip sides to the rotunda. That number won't be reduced near as much as what we saw from 2,800 down to just a shade over 1,000, but it still will go down. So we'll probably be at maybe 800 bills or so that are alive and active by this time next week, or March 14th, I should say. So now, we do have to watch zombies occur up at the Capitol, I like to say. In other words, somebody might try to sneak an old bill into the form of an amendment or something like that. So you have to stay vigilant. Nothing truly ever dies, if you will. But we're really honing down onto what the priorities of the legislature are, the priorities of organizations and individuals, whether it be senators or representatives. It's a much easier see, to negotiate at this point in time as we move forward. At the same time, though, the importance of some of the issues, budgets, those types of things, are now starting to kind of flower and become elevated, and we can kind of take a look and see where we're going for the rest of the session.
Right. Just to highlight one of those bills that you have been kind of following is one, like you said, protecting beef and its image and its status here. Remind us a little bit about that, and then I'd like you to comment, if you can, with USDA and FDA coming out with their rules as far as the regulation over fake meat products and NCBA and how you guys play into that.
You bet. All that within the same context, and I appreciate you bringing that up. So let's start here on the state level. So what we're dealing with here is only labeling. We're not dealing with the regulation of the production of the products themselves. So only here in the state, the only thing we have the ability to deal with is the labeling component. And so Senator Bergstrom has a bill, Representative Sanders had a bill on the Senate and House, respectively, and the general gist of these is that the use of the term beef is reserved exclusively for products that from a four-legged critter that chews its cud and speaks moo, if you will. In other words, only livestock. It also is, of course, relative to pork and to poultry and so forth. So the terminology on the labeling is what we're targeting here. So the language in these bills include things like if this is a lab-based product or a cell-cultured product, then the label must be very clear to the consumer that that's what it is. It can't say beef in big letters and then little tiny print down here on the bottom say produced in a lab. The fonts must be equal. It must be very relevant to the consumer on what this product is. And so that's what we're dealing with on the state level. Now, on the national level, you're right. We've heard some good news about how USDA and FDA are regulating those. FDA regulates the nutrition side of the production of these products. And forgive me on some of these terms, because this is all new technology, and how we're, none of these products are commercially available yet. Key word there is yet. So FDA has regulatory authority over the nutrition side of it. That makes sense, because FDA has regulatory authority over what we feed our cattle, whether it be vitamin nutrients or minerals or so forth. FDA has regulatory authority there. Then USDA takes the authority when it comes to harvest and the presentation of the food and the labeling on the federal level. And that makes sense, again, because if you think about it from a cattle standpoint, USDA is an inspection in the plants, the slaughter plants, and then when the product goes to grocery stores or to restaurants, USDA is still in the authority regarding the inspection of the product and so forth. Mm-hmm. So that makes perfect sense. So we're tickled to see that. We want to make sure, and we're glad to see so far, that USDA and FDA have stepped up and really putting regulatory authority, proper regulatory authority on these products so consumers will know. What we're also anxious to see is going to the FDA side of this is, how are these products grown? And specifically, what are the antimicrobial uses? Because I think what we're going to find is that in order for those companies to keep those products pure, only meat, and not have other bacteria, molds, etc., the level of antimicrobial use is going to be pretty high. Mm-hmm. We need consumers to know that, because we're under scrutiny for judicious use of antimicrobials. They need to be under scrutiny for their use as well. So lots of moving parts there as we continue to move that into that issue forward on both the state and the federal level. But right now, we're pretty pleased at how this is progressing.
Excellent. So one question for you. With Governor Stitt, he has asked for the ability to hire and fire agency directors. Is there any bearing on that for you guys? Any reaction from your perspective?
Yeah, that's a good question. And for the most part, really not. We've not played into that issue too much, because the Department of Agriculture is really kind of the stalwart of that issue. We established that kind of process of that check and balance and that governor oversight a long time ago within the Department of Agriculture. So to give you an example, currently Secretary Blaine Arthur, of course, that's a cabinet level position. She answers directly to the governor. The governor has the ability to hire and fire that position. The board is appointed by the governor. The board has specific authorities, which we believe are appropriate. The secretary sits on that board. So we think the Department of Ag is in a good spot. And so far, we've not seen any modifications or tweaks from the governor's office there. Now, some of the health department and some of those, I think those are very important, because, again, what we've seen is Oklahomans like that transparency and that accountability. Mm-hmm. And if there's a problem, they want it fixed immediately. And under the current system, it's kind of difficult to do that, to be honest. Now, again, to be clear, though, OCA, we really haven't waded into to those topics, because they're not as relevant to us as far as regulatory authorities as certainly the Department of Ag is.
Sure. And I guess I'll leave you with a plug here for what was going on here today. Obviously, you guys have got some fundraising efforts that you're highlighting this week.
Yeah, this is exciting. This is our spring meeting of our ranch rodeo. Our ranch rodeo is in late August, but our committee works so hard to make sure we put on a top-notch event. And the first and foremost goal of that is to benefit as a charity, the Children's Hospital Foundation. We're looking at some new and exciting things this year, a ranch horse competition. We're going to look at a fun run, a 5K. Fun run the week before, just ways that we can, again, kind of, no pun intended, spur the event on forward, if you will, because it's such a great opportunity for us to highlight the ranching heritage. These are true cowboys and cowgirls, work every day on the ranch, and they're on the arena floor competing in our special events, wild cow milking and team penning and so forth. But the overall benefit is for our charity, and they're so privileged to partner with the Children's Hospital Foundation. And by the way, I should mention, Lazy E Arena these folks are top-notch talented. They are professionals. They do such a great job of helping us host a premier event that we have teams that are lined up waiting and anxiously bidding, if you will, and nominating them and so forth to say, can we participate? Unfortunately, we can only have 12 teams, but what a great opportunity for us to highlight the ranching heritage and benefit a great a charity in the Children's Hospital Foundation. We've donated over $500,000 since the inception of the event, and we're excited about this coming up August 23rd and 24th this year.